Avian influenza that infects chickens, turkeys, ducks, and other birds is rampant across the country. In fact, the current outbreak is now the largest avian flu epidemic the nation has ever seen. Pennsylvania has the most cases, with many of those coming in our region. It's one of the reasons the cost of eggs has gone up so much, but it has had a devastating impact on poultry flocks and farms. Philip Gruber is the news editor of Lancaster Farming Newspaper and has written extensively about avian flu. He's with us on The Spark today. Phil Gruber, welcome to the program.
Hi, nice to be here.
All right, so give us a sense of how widespread this epidemic is.
Well, this is really the first nationwide avian influenza outbreak. We have seen a few outbreaks in the past century or so. They've all been localized to one state or a couple states. This is in 47 states with domestic poultry and every state except Hawaii for wild birds.
Do we know why it has spread so far?
Well, this is an unusually virulent strain of avian influenza. So it has been it's been hard on wild birds, unusually. And it has also it's also spread across several migratory bird pathways in the United States instead of being more confined to just one.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program about how it is spread. But I want to get back to how rampant this is. I mentioned in the introduction that Pennsylvania has the most cases. Talk about the impact here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the first outbreak in Pennsylvania of this current outbreak was last April 2022. And since then, we have had 4.6 million birds lost across 67 premises. We have had the most lost so far in the past month or so, not necessarily across the entire outbreak, but we've had 32 premises affected, 300,000 birds across February and March.
Where in particular in Pennsylvania?
Most of the cases have been in Lancaster County in the or surrounding counties, but we have had some as far out as, the Pittsburgh area and Tioga County.
Is part of the reason for that that Lancaster County is one of, if not the leading poultry county in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah. We have a large number of poultry operations here. This is the largest area. That's a big reason for it. We also had some of the large operations that were infected were in Lancaster County.
When you talk about large versus, the size of other operations, is any one operation immune from this? I mean, large, small, backyard chickens?
No, any type of poultry could be infected, even your little backyard flock that's not really connected in with the commercial system.
From an economic standpoint, what impact is it having?
Well, I don't have a number because I don't know if anyone really has an aggregate number on that yet. When the outbreak became the largest in U.S. history, USDA had spent about $500 million. Pennsylvania has committed 25 million plus. Plus, there's a lot of losses just on the individual farms and for allied businesses and for the poultry companies themselves.
So, when you say that USDA, the Department of Agriculture, on the federal level and also here on the state level, has committed that much money, what you're talking about is that the farmers who have lost their flocks, that they're reimbursed or that the government comes to their aid?
Yes, the government partially, they reimburse them, provide an indemnity for the partial value of the birds, plus the USDA and the state are heavily involved in the cleanup process.
And what's involved in that cleanup process?
Well, first thing is to kill all the birds in the farm just to make sure that the disease does not spread. And then the birds usually are composted, and then the house will be cleaned basically so it looks good as new. just to eliminate that virus.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who wonder why the birds have to be killed. Why do they have to be destroyed?
Yeah, that's a federal policy. Avian influenza is considered a foreign animal disease, so the prescribed response is called stamping out, which means all of the birds on the farm would have to be killed. And you don't, the main thing is you don't want such a high consequence disease to become endemic and to cause problems over such a long period of time. The other thing is chickens just don't have natural immunity to avian influenza. So if it's in their house, it's pretty likely that they're going to die anyways. And if we can do euthanasia or something similar to that, then that's a better death, veterinarians would say, rather than having them go through the agony of avian influenza.
Typically, when avian flu is detected or diagnosed in a flock, what's the time frame between when it's detected and when a flock is destroyed?
Well, it's something like a 48-hour window that they're looking for. Sometimes it has gone longer, depending on the situation, but Pennsylvania has actually been able to do some fairly quickly. The outbreaks, I should say, don't get reported to the public that quickly just because there's a whole process of notifying trading partners. But, you know, just within a couple days, you want to get those birds taken care of.
I'm sure people don't like to think about these birds being destroyed and being destroyed so quickly. So there's no such thing as a second opinion. It's once it is detected, these flocks, these chickens are destroyed so that they can't spread the infection, correct?
Right. I mean, there is a process. The state veterinary labs, one of the three, will presumptively confirm the disease, and then USDA's lab in Iowa will do the official confirmation. But, you know, it's, you know, once they have that presumptive at the state level, they start the process of depopulation.
Something that you said earlier about these carcasses being used as compost, in what way?
Well, compost is the composting process will break down the virus particles, which is what you're really looking to do. There's a special method of building a compost pile in like a long windrow so that it can be managed by machinery. And then you're also limiting the odor as much as possible. Sometimes composting can be done in a house. Sometimes, depending on the house configuration, it might be done in a field. But basically, you want to break down those carcasses. You're bringing in a lot of carbon materials, such as wood chips. So it's not just, obviously, certainly not just the birds that you're working with. There's a lot of material there.
So then how is that compost used later?
Well, eventually it would be virus-free, so it could be used as a soil amendment or something like that. Mm.
Does everyone who's using compost, do they know that there may be chicken carcasses that were used as compost?
I don't know that they would know that. I don't know if there's any labeling requirements there, but they shouldn't see like a chicken leg sticking out or anything, because it would have all been
That's
broken
good.
Down.
That's a good thing. Yeah. So what birds are infected or at risk?
Well, if you're a bird, you're probably at risk. But the birds we're most concerned about on the domestic side, you know, certainly chickens, turkeys. We have seen ducks infected in this outbreak. But there's a variety of birds that are also raised for live bird markets, such as in Philadelphia, which could be anything like guineas. Those markets serve a pretty wide ethnic clientele who have, you know, looking for something that you can't find in the supermarket.
I just heard a news story here on WITF about penguins being checked for avian flu. That's not the kind of bird that I think of that would be infected, but you said almost any kind of bird.
Yeah, we have seen a few zoo infections. Actually, Lake Tobias Wildlife Park in Halifax had some rheas that were infected in the fall. And those are these large flightless birds, kind of look like emus. For zoos, the rules are a little bit different. You're not required to kill the birds. I think partly because there's that rarity there, and they're not connected to the commercial food system.
Our guest today is Philip Gruber. He's news editor for Lancaster Farming Newspaper. We're talking about the epidemic. It is the avian influenza epidemic, 47 states across the country, Pennsylvania the epicenter right now for avian flu. So, Phil, let me ask you about the symptoms that these infected birds present.
Yeah, well, certainly one of the most concerning is an increase in mortality within the flock. Sometimes you don't see all the symptoms, though. You can also have decreased feed or water intake because the birds are feeling bad, diarrhea, difficulty breathing, problems with egg production, just a variety of things that you wouldn't want a bird to go through.
From what you described earlier, once a flock has been diagnosed, you know, it's not long before the flock is destroyed. What about some of the eggs that have been produced by these infected birds, these infected chickens? Are they safe to eat?
Well, poultry products and things are, I don't think their concern is really there. Once they set up the control areas around the flock, there's testing and movement restrictions for everything connected with the farm. So there's not going to be any, there shouldn't be any food safety concerns.
But it is one of the reasons that the price of eggs has gone up, correct?
Oh, yeah. We've certainly seen, we saw this in the 2015 outbreak, too, which was the last major one. When you have that many egg-laying chickens lost, your production is going to decrease. Certainly there have been other, your regular inflation factors going on, but AI has been a big issue.
You know, we keep hearing about the price of eggs, and probably it's because the prices have increased by such a large percentage. What about broiler chicks, though? Those are the chickens that people eat as meat. What have those prices done?
Well, there's been inflation across food. You know, broiler's going to be taken into that. Broilers have not been affected as badly as the laying hens. So I think, you know, that industry has felt a little more relief maybe than some other parts of poultry.
You touched on this earlier about how avian flu is spread. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, it all starts with the wild birds. They act as the natural reservoir. Ducks in particular can carry avian influenza without even showing clinical signs. So sometimes there's direct contact. You know, maybe a bird could get into a poultry house in a pastured situation. A wild bird could be attracted by feed that's been set out, which is not what you're not supposed to do right now. But the main concern has been wild bird feces contaminating surfaces like shoes, vehicles, and equipment, and that getting tracked into the poultry house. It could be such a small amount of virus that you wouldn't even notice. It's not like you would see a bird droppings on your shoe even.
So why don't the wild birds get as sick as the domesticated ones, the chickens, the turkeys, the ducks?
Well, it's just the adaptation that they have to it. Although in this particular situation, the virus is also more virulent. So we have seen elevated deaths even with wild birds.
Do we know why this strain is more virulent? And by that, you mean that it is more contagious. It is spreading quicker and spreading more wide, more in more areas than others.
Yeah, more dangerous, more infectious. So it's just the nature of it. I mean, you're used to seeing H5N1 and H this and H that. There's all those different varieties of H's and N's, and some are just more challenging than others.
So if we were to make a comparison, you know, we've heard about variants of COVID-19. This is probably the same thing. We're just talking about variants and a strain that is more virulent.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about the flu that affects humans. Some years the flu vaccine is more effective than others, just depending on the what the strain looks like that year. Mm.
So how do we stop this from spreading?
Well, in the industry, the term is biosecurity. That's the main way we do this, which means making sure that what's dirty stays out of the clean, which is the area where the birds are. And that means changing your shoes, making sure whatever goes into the poultry area is not going to be contaminated, cleaning up feed spills and things so you don't attract wild birds. Biosecurity is not 100% effective, but that's our main tool.
That seems kind of hit or miss, if you will. I mean, I'm sure there's some science behind it, but it seems like one or two or multiple people or other sources of contamination can get through.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's not foolproof. I mean, it's something that the industry has worked really hard on, has really tried to build a culture of biosecurity. I mean, there has been talk too of vaccines, but there are some challenges with vaccines. Certainly there's cost. We may need to create region-specific vaccines, which would be additional complexity. But really the biggest thing is once a bird is vaccinated, it would test positive for avian influenza. So you need to have a way to distinguish for your trading partners, is this bird sick? Or is this bird presenting as positive because of vaccination or because of actual illness? And right now, the trading, the export situation, it's just, we're not going to deal with that. And if we did try to vaccinate, we would probably lose our export markets overnight.
Speaking of which, I saw a story this morning that you wrote about three states that are limiting or if not outright banning Pennsylvania poultry products, right?
Yeah, Texas, Florida, and Ohio. And, you know, maybe you think, well, what does Texas is so far away, but there have been dozens of permits, that were going out there. And Texas is the most restrictive at the moment. They just, you need approval from the state to send Pennsylvania poultry to that state. We'll see how long that goes, but that's the rule at the moment.
Is that a big market for Pennsylvania poultry?
Well, it's a big market. We did have dozens of movement permits that were denied just in the first day when that was all getting rolled out. So we'll see. Mm.
So this is not the first time there's been an outbreak. You've said that this is the largest, though, that the nation has ever seen. Talk about those other outbreaks that we've had, and how did they end?
Yeah, so we had a 1983 to 84 outbreak. That was mainly in Pennsylvania. Lancaster County was a big part of that. And then the other one was 2014 to 15, mainly in Minnesota and Iowa. And in 2015, it ended partly because the weather got warm, the wild bird migration ended, and the risk factors went away. That may not hold true this time.
Why do you say that? Because, I mean, granted, here in the Northeast, in Pennsylvania, the weather, this has been a mild winter, but other parts of the country have seen snowstorms and lots of rain, and it hasn't been quite as mild here as here in Pennsylvania. So why then do we think that we will continue to see migratory birds spreading this, even here in Pennsylvania? I have less than a minute left.
Yeah, we have We have wild birds. A lot of the migration happens April and May. And we do also have resident birds that, you know, not all the Canada geese go up to Canada.
We have about 30 seconds left. And Phil Gruber of Lancaster Farming Newspaper, I want to thank you very much for being with us. So how does this end? Do we know?
We don't know yet. It could fizzle out. It could be a problem for some time. We certainly expect that the disease risk will be with us this spring and potentially into the fall.
Philip Gruber is the news editor of Lancaster Farming Newspaper. Phil Gruber, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Spark on WITF, your home for NPR and discovering all things local. I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.